It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Stay tuned for an update from the EOC coming up at 12 noon. 24 degrees here in Kodiak. We're looking for relatively light winds from the northwest. 8 to 11 miles per hour today. You're listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM.
I'm going to take my mask off for some, just for clarity here. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us again today. Today is December 3rd, 2020. The Emergency Services Council met again this morning. They're here with me right now. The members include the Kodiak Island Borough and the city mayors, Coast Guard base and air station commanders, the Alaska State Trooper Sergeant, and the Kodiak Island Borough Manager, and myself, the city manager. All of you are now aware of the rapid rise in COVID-19 cases the community has seen over the past 5 weeks. We began with single-digit cases early in November through mid-month. There were 160 cases reported in November. Today we report 36 new cases. We've had 134 cases reported this week. If this continues, only drastic measures will control the transmission. I understand the desire to travel, get together at the watering holes, stay social, and enjoy and only change what we think applies to us. This is what the virus likes. It spreads by contact, by close contact. Look at the statistics released by the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center. There are contact spread, community spread, and travel-related cases and unknown transmission cases. All situations that brought people together in close settings. Outside of your immediate household, you're at risk, and you may be carrying that risk with you. Masks can help, but at home we don't wear masks, and if the virus gets in your household, you are highly susceptible to acquiring the virus. Some guidelines from the CDC are that close contacts should quarantine for 14 days. Quarantine may end at 10 days without a negative test if you are experiencing no symptoms through daily monitoring. If testing is available, quarantine can end at 7 days, provided you experience no symptoms and a negative test result obtained no later earlier than 48 hours prior. An example is you can test as early as day 5, but must remain quarantined through day 7. In all cases, close contacts should continue to monitor for symptoms for 14 days. The Department of Health and Social Services is urging anyone who receives a positive test result to notify their own close contacts as soon as possible so individuals can quarantine without delay. We have recently increased our active case count to 157. If this number is any indicator, this could produce 200 more cases within the next 2 weeks. We, as a community, working together, need to avoid this rapid rise. Kodiak Providence Hospital is in red status. They have admitted 12 COVID patients since Thanksgiving. Today, there are 2 hospitalizations remaining. One patient was recently medevaced to Anchorage for higher level of care. Kodiak Emergency Medical Service continues to respond and transport positive COVID patients daily. We need to realize the critical importance of our essential public services, such as the EMS crew, the clinics, the hospital, even water and sewer, streets, and our law enforcement. Each day, we are putting these people at increased risk. The state has mandated the fishing industry to implement additional testing requirements as the community risk levels increase. This increases the burden on the testing sites. 2 weeks ago, we talked about a modified red status risk level. At the time, we avoided red because there was hope we could reverse our trajectory. Maybe it was already too late to think that way, but we tried. What can we say to achieve community cooperation? everyone working together to stop the spread. You need to not rely on others to protect you. Everyone, listen, you need to protect yourself and understand there are quarantined and tested positive people out and about town who are not listening to public health and are at risk to you and your family's health. Others are able to shed the virus to others in early stages but are not yet showing symptoms. We know there are travelers not testing nor quarantine. This is very difficult to control. Again, we need to protect ourselves and you need to protect ourselves. We have prepared with some what ifs, some options to avoid hunker down situation. We have recommended you avoid non-essential travel, avoid crowds, stay in your social bubble, try this or try that, stay quarantined, stay home if you're ill. Are we not concerned about what this would look like if we disregard guidance provided by the healthcare professionals? Some say we are overreacting to the virus, to the response because Kodiak hasn't seen a death. Well, we have had one death this week. And we heard from a nurse on Monday that patients they cared for would have died without medical help. So to say we have not had more deaths is credit to our hospital staff. This comes at a great cost to our community. This is far greater than a financial loss. This affects mental health, our physical health, and some losses will be long-lasting. Recently, the Emergency Operations Center has received numerous calls and emails referencing personal opinions about what this community should do about the rise in the number of COVID cases. The members of the Emergency Services Council have received comments from both sides of the spectrum, those in favor of further restrictions and those against any more restrictions. We are not a copycat community. We don't make decisions because another community made one. We are focused on Kodiak with an eye to the rest of the state. The airport testing site has doubled the daily COVID tests since the Emergency Operations Center established airport greeters inside the Kodiak terminal. And this week we have commitments from CANA that this testing site will continue. This is an important step in reducing the community transmissions. Again, if you must travel, test upon your return and stay home until you receive negative test results. Today, the Emergency Services Council is moving the community mitigation plan to reflect the pandemic risk level 5, red risk level. This status puts Kodiak at a reduced occupancy capacity. In-person shopping, dining, drinking, bowling, theater, and use of the public library are now restricted. Basically, every business and public facility are now going to follow their mitigation red risk level in addition to the requirements announced today by the ESC. The Emergency Services Council is encouraging curbside shopping and receiving. Order out, make appointments to shop smaller stores. Follow the decals on the floor to keep yourself and others safe. This all sounds like something none of us want to follow after 9 months of pandemic, but is necessary to control this currently uncontrolled COVID-19 outbreak on our island. So here is what the Kodiak Emergency Service Council is asking all of you to do. Phase 5 of the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center Pandemic Influenza Plan, limited capacity to essential and non-essential businesses. So here we go. Effective 8 a.m. December 7th, next Monday, through December 21st of this year, all Kodiak Island businesses and activities, including all retail and service types, indoor recreational activities, bars, restaurants, religious gatherings, grocery, and any business or service that is open to the public is now restricted to 25% customer capacity. This capacity is calculated from the business fire marshal occupancy load. Most stores have that load posted. Each business and facility is encouraged to use COVID-19 mitigation measures whenever reasonable to use online shopping, appointment shopping, curbside service, takeout. Indoor dining and bars may remain open, however, strict social distancing is required. The November 19th Kodiak mask mandate remains in effect. Exceptions to the capacity restriction include medical facilities, travel for critical personal needs or essential service, childcare, homeless shelters, educational institutions, government agencies, and critical infrastructure services such as public utility services. Seafood processors shall operate under the state required mandates. This level of mitigation is intended to keep our economy open. This shuts down no one. This week we have spoken to Safeway and Walmart, and this capacity restriction of 25% will not affect shoppers' access to supplies and groceries. As a matter of fact, they are operating near that capacity right now. Remember to avoid going out each day for supplies. If you don't need to bring the entire family with you, then don't. Remember to use their curbside service whenever reasonable. Also consider using social media platforms to socialize with friends and family. Not the same as in-person communication, but it will not spread the COVID virus. Social gatherings are also causing this virus to spread. Understand that we're working with the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce to reduce the impact on local business. Shop local, keep local business here. So when this virus is no longer the current threat, these businesses will still be able to support you. Thank you to those businesses that take the virus serious, require masks to be worn in their place of business, follow the mitigation plans, and help to protect one another. For someone struggling to pay their rent, utilities, or if you're in need of food, contact the Salvation Army for assistance. The city, using funds from the CARES Act, made a financial contribution to support this service and also supported the Kodiak child care providers. Remember, we are in a pandemic and people are becoming sick and dying. Let's work together to control this nasty virus. Look for the Emergency Operations Center daily COVID announcements. And we will return again next Thursday at noon for another update. Please, everyone, respect one another. Thank you.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Updates on COVID relief funds for fishermen. One deadline to apply draws nigh. More after this.
An AMC-trained fisherman is more likely to survive an emergency at sea. Learn more at amc.org.
December 14th is the deadline for U.S. fishermen to apply for federal funds to take the sting out of market hits from the Trump administration's trade tariffs. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will distribute a total of $530 million to fishermen based on their catches in 2019 for 19 species under the new Seafood Trade Relief Program. For example, the U.S. pays a 38% tariff on seafood products going to China, previously Alaska's biggest buyer. That's pushed down sales to the lowest level in a decade. Another 35% tariff was imposed last month on many U.S. seafood items going to Europe, including Alaska salmon. The damages to fishermen are calculated as the difference with the trade tariff and the baseline without it. For cod, that adds up to an extra 14 cents a pound. Other Alaska species include dungeness, king crab, snow crab, and tanners, gooey duck clams, salmon, sable fish, Alaska pollock, flounders, and more. Fishermen must fill out a 2020 Seafood Trade Relief Program application found at USDA Farm Service Agencies. In Alaska, there are three locations at Homer, Kenai, and Palmer. The deadline again is December 14th. Alaska is still on the waiting list for its $50 million share in fisheries assistance as part of the $300 million CARES Act approved in May. In fact, only $16.5 million has been given out so far, according to a breakdown of a General Accounting Office report by SeafoodNews.com. Meanwhile, this week, another $908 billion COVID relief package was proposed in Congress, which would include $21.5 billion for programs including fisheries. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
As we just heard, there have been 36 new COVID-19 cases in the Kodiak Island Borough, according to the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization. Four new cases not previously reported were tested on the 30th. Three are close contact transmission cases, and one is unknown transmission. 9 new cases not previously reported were tested on the 1st of November. 8 are close contact transmission cases, and 1 is unknown transmission. 23 new cases were tested on the 2nd. 11 are considered close contact, 5 are community transmission, and 7 are unknown. This brings the total case count associated with the Kodiak Island Borough to 411, with 157 cases currently classified as active. 14 individuals have completed their isolation period and have been removed from the active case count. Total hospitalizations to date remains unchanged at 12, with 2 patients currently hospitalized. One individual required a higher level of care and was transported off-island. And as we just heard, as of 8 a.m. next Monday, the status level 5 red will be applied. What this will mean for us here in Kodiak will mean 25% capacity or occupancy load of businesses. Indoor dining and bars will remain open with social distancing requirements. However, they are encouraging curbside pickup and takeout. That again, there will be no shutdowns of local businesses and services. And remember, the EOC representatives will be present on the lowdown tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on KMXT, and you can start sending in your questions for them right now. Send them to kmxt.org or, excuse me, pam@kmxt.org. 19 more Alaskans were hospitalized with COVID-19, the State Health Department reported on Wednesday. The new cases pushed the number of confirmed COVID-19 hospitalizations to 150 for the first time during the pandemic, as the number of free ICU beds in the state dropped to just 24. In Anchorage, where the bulk of the state's health care capacity is located, the number of free ICU beds is down to 6, according to the state's coronavirus dashboard. Additionally, over a dozen more Alaskans are in the hospital and suspected of having COVID-19. The state reported 689 new cases of COVID, with over a third of those coming from the Mat-Su borough. Officials warned last week that Mat-Su case numbers were likely to be inflated as data processors begin to enter positive cases after a lab failed to report hundreds of cases to the state. Alaska is currently the 8th worst state in the United States in terms of new weekly COVID cases per capita, according to the New York Times. An Alaska-based theater company is putting on a Tlingit twist to a holiday classic. KNBA's Trip Krause talks with the Perseverance Theater's playwright-in-residence about the production and how the theater has adapted during the pandemic.
At Christmas time, we bring you in for herring eggs. You are our friend.
From the opening carol, viewers will notice a particular Southeast Alaska flavor to a Tlingit Christmas carol. Vera Starbard is a playwright-in-residence for Perseverance Theater and adapted the story.
If you enjoy a Christmas carol like I do, you'll recognize the story. Like, it definitely, plot-wise, has a lot of the same beats. Obviously not exactly the same, but you'll definitely recognize the story.
The production will be in 5 roughly 20-minute episodes, or staves, live-streamed through Perseverance Theater's Facebook page and YouTube channel. After each stave is finished, it will be made available to rewatch until Russian Orthodox Christmas on January 7th. As the first stave begins, viewers and theater patrons will recognize the story. Scrooge is a successful CEO of a Native Corporation subsidiary in an unnamed town. He's also a boarding school survivor, though Starbird says that element is intentionally subtle.
So I didn't want to sort of obsess on that, because I think that ultimately I didn't experience that, and I don't have the right to tell you that story without someone who's been there. But I did want to allow a look into that and a look into why our Scrooge is the way he is.
And Scrooge hates Christmas, even when his niece, Frida, invites him over to celebrate Russian Orthodox Christmas.
And you think some exhausting event made for a made-up holiday filled with half the miserable people in this miserable community is where I'd like to be?
Fair point, but I'd still love to see you there.
Humbug.
The character of E.B. Scrooge is played by Ed Littlefield, who's Tlingit and serves as a music director as well, Starbird says.
He's a wonderful Tlingit musician who just makes this absolute magic. The songs start out actually very sort of Western Christmas. And the further you get into the staves, there are more Tlingit, and there's more Tlingit language, and there's more Tlingit sounding drums and rattles. You'll hear some deer rattles in there. It's just such a magical thing to hear sort of these familiar noises in a new kind of medium.
The production's critically acclaimed stage director, Madeline Syed, is Mohegan. The largely native cast and crew includes representatives from a variety of tribes and nations, including Yupik, Inupiaq, Osage, Métis Cree, and more.
And we're all bringing our culture and our values into how we're creating this in the first place. And yes, that's reflected in the story itself as an Indigenous person who wrote it, but you see it in the acting, in the choices that are made for the music.
Juneau-based Perseverance offers performances in Juneau and Anchorage, and in the time of coronavirus, virtually. Starboard says the theater industry largely shuttered nationwide to prevent the possibility of spreading COVID-19. The shutdown left a lot of theater artists and writers out of work, but it also sparked a boom in online productions.
Because we're not going to stop creating. We're not going to stop putting out art. And it's been difficult for some people to sort of be in this very stressful pandemic era, but also be creating art.
Starboard says going virtual opened up more opportunities to connect with other artists, as well as offering productions to remote villages.
I'm really hoping that we also keep working on the Zoom or working on whatever technology comes out of it, because the accessibility of what we're doing right now is so much more than what we've been able to do before. But I can now say, well, Tlingit Christmas Carol, you're going to be able to see whenever you want, from wherever you are, literally anywhere in the world. I mean, that's exciting to me.
The Staves of a Tlingit Christmas Carol will be released each Friday until Christmas Day, December 25th, and available to rewatch until January 7th. For more information, go to ptalaska.org. In Anchorage, I'm Tripp Krause.
Thank you, Tripp. A group of Alaskans has filed a lawsuit seeking to block the recently passed Ballot Measure 2, the Elections Overhaul Initiative. Members of the Republican, Libertarian, and Alaskan Independence parties filed the lawsuit in Anchorage Superior Court on Tuesday. Attorney Kenneth Jacobus of Anchorage is among the plaintiffs. He's a Republican who says the measure will hurt the state's political parties.
It harms individual rights to free political association so we can get our candidates elected.
Other plaintiffs include Anchorage resident Scott Kohlhaas, who recently ran as a Libertarian for the State House, Anchorage Independence Party Chair Bob Byrd, and the Alaskan Independence Party. The measure has three main components. It changes Alaska's primary so that the members of all parties compete in the same primary, with the top four finishers advancing to the general election. In the general election, voters will be able to rank their choices. If no candidate receives a majority of the first place votes, the second choices of trailing candidates will be counted until there's a winner. And the measure makes it more difficult for so-called dark money campaign donations to be hidden. The lawsuit says the measure violates provisions of the federal and state constitutions, including those related to political association and free speech. Jacobus is concerned that the new law allows candidates to determine what party information is next to their names on the ballot. He says this would take away the party's members' rights to associate with who they want to.
A socialist could claim they were a Republican, and they'd go Republican on the ballot. That's withholding information from the people is not in the best interests of anybody.
Jacobus says he doesn't object to the ranked choice voting, but is deeply concerned with the top four open primary. Jacobus says plaintiffs filed in the state court rather than federal court because they want the issue to be resolved within the state and because the state law regarding political association is stronger than federal law. Jacobus expects the Alaska Supreme Court to ultimately weigh in on the case once it's been heard in Superior Court. Scott Kendall is the lawyer for the Yes on 2 campaign and helped write the measure. He says the U.S. Supreme Court has addressed the plaintiff's primary argument by allowing similar open primaries in other states.
Open primaries of this kind are absolutely constitutional. So, you know, this ballot measure was designed with an eye towards existing case law and existing law. And it was designed to withstand constitutional scrutiny. And frankly, we don't see anything in this lawsuit that presents a serious threat.
A spokesperson for the Department of Law says the department will review the filing and respond in a timely manner. This info from the Kodiak Police Department, they are advising that there is a large pothole in the intersection of Mill Bay Road and Razanoff Drive at the Y downtown. Again, there's a pothole the size of Crater Lake at the Y right now, so be careful for that.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon. Welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the third day of December, the year 2020. The sun rose at 9:31. It will set again at 4:28 this afternoon, giving us 6 hours and 54 minutes of daylight. That is a loss of a mere 2 minutes and 33 seconds compared to yesterday. We have a high tide coming up here on the east side at 3:01 p.m. That will be a 9.5-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 9:55 this evening of minus 0.4 feet. Over on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 3:35 this afternoon. That will be a 15.2-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:21 this evening of minus 0.6 feet. 24 degrees here in beautiful Kodiak right now, and we're looking at fairly mild winds of about 11 miles per hour right now, coming down to 9 miles per hour now from the north-northwest. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A weak trough of low pressure over the northern Gulf will lift inland this afternoon. A front will approach the western Gulf Friday night, while a complex 988 millibar North Pacific low will move across the south of Middleton Island to 500 nautical miles from south of Middleton Island Friday night. The result of all that, it looks like Marmon Island is Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore. Small craft advisory through Friday. Northwest wind to 20 knots will become variable 10 knots this evening and turn to the northeast to 15 knots, seas to 8 feet. For tomorrow, look for northeast wind to 25 knots and seas to 9 feet. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for today and tomorrow. West wind to 25 knots, seas to 5 feet. Freezing spray in the Shelikof tonight. For tomorrow, look for northeast wind to 25 knots, seas to 8 feet, and freezing spray. The Clerk Hiring Committee is meeting today at 2 p.m. This is a virtual meeting with no public attendance, but for more information about how you can participate, call the City Clerk's office at 486-8636. Come celebrate with the Kodiak Public Library. They're sponsoring a Home for the Holidays handicraft session every Monday at 2 p.m. via Zoom. You can join them online each week to learn a new craft. They don't say what they're going to do this next Monday, but you want to reserve your supplies. They supply paper and instructions. You just supply food coloring, and instructions are posted on their webpage, and you want to check out their Facebook page as well. Next week, holiday cards. The library is also sponsoring a December Kindness Challenge. Take time to spread kindness and good cheer in a socially distanced way. Complete 10 or more kind actions, return your challenge sheet, and they will hang a star with your name on it and give you a craft kit. And let's see how much kindness we can all share. It's like a bingo sheet, and you'll find the challenge posted on the library's webpage, and you can pick one up at the library. All ages are encouraged to participate to spread a little kindness around Kodiak. And remember, every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., Ms. Ani reads stories for virtual children's story time on the library's Facebook page and YouTube channel.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181. Fax us at 888-486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.